A Government Accountability Office report on Medicare Advantage has found that the beneficiaries enrolled in those plans may pay more for some services than beneficiaries in traditional Medicare. Can you recap that for us, Mary Agnes?
The report, which was released at a House Ways and Means Health Subcommittee hearing, found that on average, plans projected that cost sharing by Medicare Advantage enrollees was less than half of that paid by enrollees in traditional Medicare. But the report also found that some Medicare Advantage plans require beneficiaries to make higher copayments for some services than are required for enrollees in Medicare's fee-for-service program. For example, the GAO found that 19% of Medicare Advantage beneficiaries were in plans that projected higher cost sharing for home health services, and 16% of beneficiaries were in plans that projected higher cost sharing for inpatient services.
How did lawmakers respond to the findings?
Subcommittee Chairman Pete Stark, a Democrat of California, said that the report's findings, plus the previously known data, rather, that Medicare Advantage plans are paid on average 13% more than rates in traditional Medicare, is further proof that the government is paying private insurers too much to participate in the Medicare program. But ranking Republican Dave Camp, a Republican of Michigan, took issue with the report, saying that it was a flawed study that did little to analyze the experience of beneficiaries enrolled in Medicare Advantage plans. Camp is also asking the GAO to do another study on the Medicare Advantage program, adding that enrollment has doubled since 2003.
Democrats have talked previously reducing Medicare Advantage payments. How will these findings impact those discussions, Mary Agnes?
It will be viewed as additional evidence that the plans are overpaid, but President Bush and congressional Republicans are sure to take a strong stance against any reductions in Medicare Advantage payments, just as they did last year. The findings will also put pressure on the plans to provide more data to the Medicare program in areas such as what additional benefits are provided and which beneficiaries use those services. Democrats may try to move any Medicare payment reductions as part of a spending reconciliation bill, which would prevent a filibuster in the Senate.
House Democratic leaders have scheduled a vote on mental health parity legislation. Mary Agnes, could you give us the details?
The bill would require that insurers offering mental health benefits make them equal in cost and scope to medical or surgical benefits, and that the measure would broaden a 1996 law that bans health plans from setting different lifetime or annual limits for mental health coverage than for other illnesses. Employers with fewer than 50 employees would be exempt from the bill's requirements, and the measure would not preempt tougher state parity laws.
Has the Senate passed a bill on this as well?
They have, but the Senate's version is more limited than the House bill. The Senate bill does not require insurers to cover specific conditions, and the Senate measure has attracted more support among Republicans than the House bill. Opponents of the House measure say that it will increase costs for health insurers and employers, and they charge that it would actually decrease mental health coverage by encouraging employers to drop coverage for mental health services or face mandates if they do provide such coverage.
The Senate approved a measure dealing with Indian health services. Mary Agnes, what happened there?
The measure, which passed by a vote of 83-10, would renew through fiscal 2017 the Indian Health Service. Spending for the programs in fiscal 2008 are expected to total about $3 billion, and the bill would authorize $35 billion over 10 years. It was the first major overhaul of the American Indian health care programs since 1992, sending to the House legislation to authorize new money and services for 1.8 million beneficiaries.
How will the House's consideration of the bill proceed?
In the House, the committees of jurisdiction have yet to consider the measure. House Energy and Commerce Health Subcommittee Chairman Frank Pallone, a Democrat of New Jersey, has said he's not looking to make major changes in the bill, but he might try to eliminate some of the amendments that the Senate added, including one that would ban any funds authorized under the bill from being used to decrease gun ownership.
Separately, the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee approved several health-related measures. Could you give us the details, Mary Agnes?
The panel approved a measure that would authorize $40 million annually through 2012 to study environmental causes of breast cancer such as pollution. The panel also approved legislation that would create a hotline for parents of children diagnosed with Down syndrome, and among its other provisions, the bill would create a database of parents willing to adopt children with Down syndrome.
House Committee has approved legislation to reauthorize President Bush's Global AIDS program. Mary Agnes, could you tell us about that?
The House Foreign Affairs Committee approved the bill on a voice vote after minimal debate and with no amendments offered after committee members and White House officials reached a compromise on the measure.
What would the bill do?
it would authorize significantly more funding than the president requested, $50 billion rather than $30 billion, over the next 5 years, while easing some of the social policy constraints that the White House and some GOP conservatives had imposed on the program. For example, the measure would replace a current requirement that one-third of all prevention funding go to abstinence education, with a new mandate for evidence-based balanced funding for abstinence, fidelity, and condom programs, the three facets of traditional HIV prevention strategy. The measure would also require reports to Congress if abstinence and fidelity programs make up less than 50% of spending in a given country.
Thank you for your time, Mary Agnes Carey, for Congressional Quarterly.